Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale tinakalapo kondwela, lelo eka, tutikumbukila kweta chokela. Amai kubutika mutima, koma zoti tazisoa. Nimaona misozi masomu wake, nimafuto avale nimafuto.
From Dallas, Texas, and welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio, July the 12th, 2014. My name is Nathan Nkama, and I'm going to be your host. Today, we are privileged and honored to have a distinguished gentleman. Dr. Richard Mbewe served as chief economist at the Warsaw Investment Group. He was also an adjunct professor in different schools in Poland. He is going to be joining us from Kitwe to discuss a few things, his experiences living in Poland and the transition he has decided to take to go to settle back home in Zambia and what exactly is going on. However, before I do that, let me welcome everybody that is calling in and joining us. Dr. Munsanje, good morning from Pennsylvania. How are you again?
Good morning, Nathan. I'm really eager to listen to Dr. Mbewe because I lived in that part of the world in Bulgaria, which is just next to Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hear his experiences over there.
Excellent. Also joining us is our good friend who has found his phone. He's always on the road and in the air, Zebron.
Good morning, Nathan.
How are you, my friend?
I'm very good, very good. Thank you so much for...
Everybody, just get ready to ask Dr. Mbewe what you need to ask him and what you need to hear from him. And I'm glad everybody is joining us and calling in. But Daniel Chisewe, also in Pennsylvania. Good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Thank you for this for soccer discussion. You know, I'm enjoying the comments and the contribution that everyone's making.
I tried to make you say something, but I guess the smartphones at times can be on mute when you... I call them foolish phones, Zebron. Because they don't last long. I mean, these things were designed not to last very long. Let's also say good morning to my friend in Minnesota. Wait, that rain may be noisy.
Nathan.
Yes, I'll go to a quiet place.
Okay.
Nathan.
Yes.
Vankama.
Quiet.
You know what? Either is the Eastern people that made the phone or they just don't know how to use the smartphone.
Don't start that. 412, good morning. Is this Mr. Simbe?
Yes, good morning.
Mashuken wa Simbe.
We know.
And then my good friend Peter is back again with us. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Hello. Peter.
Yes,
Peter,
good morning.
Before Dr. Mbewe joins us and we go ahead, we have a funeral in Dallas. Can you please tell our listeners, especially our Dallas people, what is happening today?
Yes, what's happening unfortunately today in Dallas is we have a funeral wake. It's going to be at 5 p.m. In Garland at Pastor Mwenya's church. And that's where people can do the body viewing, you know, those that never know the lady that just passed away. Then from there, after 2 hours, we'll go to Plano. That's where it's going to be like refreshment and those that never had time to visit their funeral home, so they can come there and, you know, make a little contribution. So far, everything has been going fine. All we are waiting for is just, you know, to do this ceremony. Then after that, next week, if we've been given permission or it's been certified that the body can go, there's no problems. Money's been raised and the body will go back home. So everything has been successful, and I would like to thank you, the diaspora, you know, in the United States from Zambia. They've done a very great job in a very short period of time because we're working together as one. So that's the update.
We shall give another update at the end of the show and just give information to people that everybody, please bear with me. We are waiting for Dr. Mbewe, one of our colleagues, friends, a contributor on this show, is also joining us. I like it when Dallas people call in. Namunji, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you, my dear?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. How are you?
You really shot me really hard. You're like, my prediction was wrong. I'm like, Namunji, you're supposed to be comforting me, yeah? Peter, Namunji just shot me. She's like, Nathan, your prediction was wrong. I'm like, you're my sister. You're supposed to be comforting me. Huh?
I know. I was like, my poor brother.
My poor brother's prediction on the World Cup is wrong. A good friend of mine from New York is also with us here, and this is a gentleman who knows Dr. Mbewe very well. They've done some things together. KC, that's what we call him. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Nathan.
How are you today?
My greetings to the good people of Dallas.
Yes, thank you,
and
everybody.
The good job they are doing during the trying period there.
We appreciate everybody's contribution, and I speak on behalf of everybody. Peter and Namunji here are my witnesses. We appreciate everybody's support and contribution towards the loss of our dear sister, Chewe. Now, Cletus, whilst we are waiting for Dr. Mbewe, your cousin LeBron has decided to go back to Cleveland.
Well, first of all, it's a good decision. You know, however wrong he was before, you know, he was out there chasing the waterfalls. It's good to realize that as he grew up, he realized that there's nothing better than where you come from.
That's true. I was thinking to myself, Peter, I said, you know, remember the first one when he decided to go to Miami, like Simba and everybody, Peter, it was like...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The decision, okay? They called it the decision. Mm-hmm. And then this one is saying, what? I'm going home? What is it? I'm going back home?
Yes.
They are calling it something like home. That. Do you know what I thought, Cletus? I'm like, this guy should just go to Hollywood and become a movie star. Those are good movie titles.
Right. Yeah, he should have gone to California with the Lakers. That could have been good for him.
I'm saying LeBron in our movie titles, Yako is LeBron, the decision.
Coming home.
The guy loves attention.
They are calling it what? Coming home?
Coming home, yes.
Coming home, okay.
Yeah,
the return of the king.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm saying ahead. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. The thing is, you know, he has left a bad taste in Miami's mouth, the same way he did with the Cavaliers. And I don't know, some people will still have a hard time trying to trust him next time.
No, you know what it, you know what it is, Cletus? The thing is that I listened to two CNN reports about that. I agreed with them because they said, I think Miami doesn't need to be bitter. He's given them two championships. He stayed there for 4 days. And I read that article that was put up on Sports Illustrated website. He uses the analogy of saying he's going, which I thought was very smart, Namunji, for him to say this. He said he's going to Miami, was like a college student, 4 years, and he's done his time at college. It's time to go back home. That's what he said. How smart
Cleveland
was that?
Cleveland fans owes him an apology, I think, at this point. The way they reacted when he left, they reacted very, very negatively towards him, and there was so much hate around it. So they owe him an apology. He knew what he was doing. Here he is, he's going back home. So
yeah, anyway. That's why, like I said about when we're talking about the World Cup, that's why I said, Peter, this thing was not designed for Germany, Brazil, and Argentina to dominate. I always go for the underdog athletes. That's why I was supporting the Dutch, because they've never won the World Cup before. I don't know. I can be corrected. Maybe they won it in 1804. I don't know.
Yeah, the Dutch are a little frustrated. They got frustrated by losing because they had so much hope they win the World Cup. And coming back to the LeBron, yes, their morale is done. They're not there for the third place. They just play, like I said, because they are professionals. They go in there and play the game as professionals, but their target was bringing the World Cup home. You know, they were finalists last year. This year they lost in the semifinals, unfortunately, to a team they thought they would beat easy, but that's how it goes. Coming back to LeBron James, you know, LeBron James is a professional basketball player. He got like maybe 4 or 5 advisors. You know, when he went to Miami, it's not just about LeBron James. It's about, okay, this is a career. If you don't make this kind of a money, then you get injured. You're going to be in the street, so you're going to have problems. He has to go for the money. And as a professional player, you want to win a championship. There was no way Cleveland is going to win a championship in the game of basketball. I don't think so. So he had to go with the team that was favorites to win the championship, and he did it for 2 years. He's made $300-400 million. He go back to Cleveland, play easy game. He's going to entertain the people with the first half of his season. Then he's going to relax because he got too much pressure. He don't need that pressure. I think that's his decision from the advisors. You make your money, now you can go back home as a professional.
Zebron, your thoughts on that?
we have to understand that Cleveland paid more money to LeBron James than Miami did. So LeBron James left Cleveland making more money, and even if when he was making all those conferences calls 4 years ago, Cleveland offered him more money than Miami because he went to Miami and he took a pay cut. And then after he opted out of his contract this time, he asked Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade that they should take a pay cut so he could get the maximum pay. He's allowed to do that. And then both of those guys agreed. But again, for him, it wasn't still enough. They had like a conversation with Pat Riley in Vegas. They couldn't agree on anything. So when you talk about money, LeBron could have made the most money anywhere he go. He can make the most money anywhere he go. For him, it's all about the pressure for him, because after I left Ohio, when I was in Ohio, because I travel a lot, I used to listen to the radio there. People are complaining that this trip to Cleveland, you know, we put up LeBron James. LeBron James is from the project. You know, he grew up in the hood and everything. But, you know, the Cleveland community used to take care of him. You know, college, high school, they were sponsored. So they put in so much for LeBron to be where he is, that city of Cleveland. So when he left them on that conference call, a lot of people were so depressed because they knew what he had invested in him and then what he has done. So for him, after all the pressure, all the fame and everything, he said when he was leaving that for me, the city of Cleveland, there's so much to the city of Cleveland than basketball. There's so much. So I'm returning home.
Okay. Yes, there's actually... Dr. Munsanje, I know you follow basketball very closely and passionately. What were your thoughts about this LeBron decision this time around?
Based on my evaluation, I thought that the money was more at play than basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I think LeBron, you know, this whole thing is about money. he got the best offer from the Cavaliers, and he made the decision to go for the money.
Mm.
Yeah, because mm. for as far as fame is concerned, he already has it. He's a superstar. He's a champion. He has won championships. So all he now remains to do is to reserve the maximum amount of money that he can get during his career. That is what my conclusion was. Otherwise, I thought he was going to remain in Miami and attempt to win another championship over there.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cletus, your thoughts on that?
LeBron was saying, because, you know, LeBron is the Cleveland, it's just more than playing basketball. You know, the tickets, the moment that he left for Miami, the tickets sank, and you know, a lot of the stadium was empty. You know, so that affects workers, it affects, you know, the promotions, it affects a lot of people. That depends on their employment with the player of the Cavalier and how they're performing in NBA.
Mm.
What the selfish decision, Scott Tucherai was just about, you know, the fame and the glory. As he pointed out, he didn't spend as much money as the Cavaliers had offered.
Okay. Well, you're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We are still working on connecting Dr. Richard Mbewe here. We apologize for a little bit of delay. Please bear with us. We are doing our level best to get Dr. Mbewe here. And we've lost a bit of time, but we'll try to make the most of our discussion with him when he comes on. So, okay, we have a situation here where what are we dealing with here now? We have a third and fourth place decision game coming up this afternoon, and we also have a final tomorrow, which I bet the whole world is looking forward to listening and to watch. Let me see if my friend Titus is going quite well. Titus, there's still noise in your background.
Okay, I'm walking back the other side.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I think the Brazilian guys could win. That's what I think also. But then, Nathan, I just wanted to throw in one thing that I wanted people to think through on the fact that on all these stadiums that have been built, I'll go back to South Africa when the World Cup was there, and now we have Brazil. What do you think, especially with Patrick, with the infrastructure that is there, what can they use it for in terms of looking forward? Brazil has lost terribly. What can that do to help them in about the period of about 5 years from now, because they have the infrastructure to train more people? Same with South Africa. What are these structures helpful after they've hosted the World Cup? Is there any difference than any other team that don't have these structures?
Okay.
I was thinking around that.
I'll let Zebron and Peter respond to that. What is the purpose of these stadia that were built by Brazil? That's what you're asking. Zebron, you heard the question. Peter, you want to respond to that?
Zebron, go ahead.
Okay.
I'll go ahead. I think
go ahead.
You see, those World Cup stadiums are helped by FIFA. The FIFA helped them make those stadiums, and the government comes in. And by now, they shouldn't be talking about income and employment over the World Cup, because everything has already been done. So, as you saw on television, the ratings on the Brazil's as a country when Brazil was knocked out of the World Cup, they're still high, so nothing is going down. So at the moment, Brazil as an economy in whole should be okay.
Yeah, and then let me carry my phone. And the other thing is that
Zebron, let me cut you short. Our guest is here. Dr. Mbewe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir, and good morning wherever you are, good evening, and so on.
Let me first of all apologize emphatically for calling you, connecting you so late. We were dealing with a technical problem here. Ladies and gentlemen, like we advertised, we said Dr. Richard Mbewe was going to join us. Dr. Mbewe lived in Poland, and as he's going to share with us in the 38 minutes we have, I believe it's 29 years, and he went back to Zambia. Dr. Mbewe, thank you for joining us, and welcome to the show. It's been a long time since we had you here, sir.
Thank you. The pleasure is mine.
Yeah. Tell us what you were doing in Poland for the past 29 years before you decided to go to Zambia.
Well, I went to Poland in 1983 on a government scholarship by the then Bazaret Committee of the Ministry of Higher Education. That was after finishing my Form 5 in those days. Today it is grade 4. I think I got good grades, and they gave me a scholarship to Poland to study chemical engineering. So I studied chemical engineering, and I got a master's in chemical engineering. And then I went on to do a doctorate in a development economics, which I also completed in 96. Then by that time, Poland had started the transformation in 1991, and they needed people who can speak the English language in a mode which is understood, especially that there was coming American and British influence. So I started working professionally, and during my professional work, I saw that an MBA was necessary, and the University of Calgary in Canada was offering MBA courses with the Poland's reading Economics College, the also main school of economics. So I did the MBA there, and I got an MBA from the University of Calgary in 2000. Apart from that, I've been all the time I was living there, I've been working professionally from the time I graduated. I specialized in working in investment banking, and then also in country promotion, you know, as a destination for foreign direct investments. Both privately and when I was working for the, let's say the Polish ZDA, Zambia Development Agency, but here, there it is the Polish Agency for Foreign Direct Investment. Hello?
Yes, we are here, Doctor.
Hello?
Doctor, okay. We can hear you.
It was a bit quiet. Okay, fine, I'll go on. So that was the Polish Foreign Direct Investment Agency, where I was the research manager, chief operations officer, and so on. And then I've worked also throughout since I graduated from my doctorate degree in 1996. I've been a lecturer for economics and management subjects, especially financial management, international marketing, and global management strategies. So in short, that's what I've been doing in Poland. I got married. Yeah. I've got a wife who is still there, and two of my kids, Richard Jr. and Lena, they are still there. So after working around
very,
in Poland and so on.
Let me say that a very successful career, and you really didn't need to go back home. You were comfortable. You have everything here. So what prompted you to start contemplating to return home to Zambia?
Yeah, that is a very nice question, Nathan. You see, there's a Polish saying that everywhere it is nice, but the best place is at home. and you find that after some time, you start thinking of going back home because your career starts to get stuck. I don't know whether you guys have had similar experiences like in my case, where you reach somewhere, they are middle management or even approaching senior management. But suddenly you can see that other people who are coming from down the ladder, you are even showing them how the job was done. They have started taking over your job, your position, or they are even going higher.
Mm-hmm.
So you start getting frustrated. I think that is what is popularly known as middle career, whatever syndrome. And but the major reason in my case was that after going around in Europe, I've been all over the world, but the only place I haven't been is South America, is that I could see things developing. I could see policies being implemented. I was advising the Polish government. I was in the Foreign Economic Policy Council to the Minister of Foreign Affairs. I was appearing on TV every Tuesday or Monday commenting about the economy, forex exchange risk management, stuff like that, similar to the money program on BBC. I did that for 6 years, from 2000 to 2006. So after seeing all those things, and then you are hearing stories of what's happening in Zambia and the mistakes which are being made in Zambia, you start thinking that maybe I can help out in my own country. And you find out the worst thing, that every good prophet is respected by foreigners, but not by his own people. Even Jesus Christ, sorry for those ones who are Christians, was killed by his own people, the Jews, but and not other foreigners. Yet other races have picked up Christianity.
The credit on your card is low.
Dr. Mbewe, if we get cut, you'll be connected again.
Okay, don't worry. Then, thirdly, was that we had an opportunity with a few of my friends. We saw an opportunity. After coming to Zambia a number of times, you get annoyed that the internet is working. It's not working. Basically. Mm-hmm. And if it's working, it is very expensive and sluggish and so on. So we thought that we could set up an internet company that could provide internet services at a fast, reliable, and affordable rate. And also I was thinking of helping in stopping the power outages. So I was thinking we could set up a small-scale power generating plant. To tell you, everybody who is listening, I did not appreciate the difficulties which are there in Zambia to get anything of that sort up and running. It's just too difficult. A lot of bureaucracy. There's no funding. Everybody just pays lip service. Yes, yes, that's good. We can do it. It's brilliant and so on. But then nobody's working. So that's what brought me here. And I've been around for 2 years, so I'm trying to put things together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 2 years of being there, and what you've explained about the bureaucracy, difficulties, frustrations, what would you tell us right now who are listening to this? What critical steps should we consider before relocating?
Before relocating, that's what we can call a pregnant question, Nathan, because it has got various aspects to the answers. But the first and major one, before relocating, make sure that you organize yourself a job or a source of income when you come here. If you're talking of business, it's very risky. Business is very risky in Zambia because everybody immediately will notice that you're from outside. They want to cheat you, swindle you, take away your money, take away your ideas, and so on. So it is very difficult. It's risky. The second thing you can do, as I've said, is to make sure you fix yourself a job. At least it will give you a soft landing. Now, once you do that, you are immediately going to have a cultural crash if you have been if you have been out for a long time, like in my case, you are going to have a cultural crash because people here, they promise you things which they know very well they will not do. But they promise you, and some of us, we believe the European or Western culture that if somebody tells you, let's meet at 14 hours, at 14 hours it's going to be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here they will tell you, let's meet at 14 hours, you'll be lucky if he comes at 16. And if he doesn't come at 16, you call, you try to reach him on this phone, he will simply not do it.
Your card has now expired.
Okay, Dr. Mbeo will come back. Like we said, we're trying to do our best here because our regional system, which we use, there's some technical problem over there. Basimbe, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You travel to Zambia a lot. He's making...
Yes.
Some very, you see, the reason I brought him, those of you that are, if you can find the article which the Post interviewed him, I even said to him, I said, Richard, how can you make a statement like this whilst you're in Zambia? He's saying business is risky. Your comment on that, Basinde?
You see, like he said, the framework in which he's thinking, plus his education and his traveling, has changed the way he thinks and says things. So I said a lot of things when I was in Zambia sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like one of the guys I employed, he said, you know, Basa Tabakesa Kwikata. Then I asked the guy, I said, because I said that he's doing nothing. We know when he was promoting ladies, after ladies as peace chiefs. I said, that does not mean gender equality doesn't mean ngawarasa ala kashana in gender equality. You're actually doing the opposite of gender equality. You see what I'm trying to say? Benavade monati ngawarasa ala nakashini shia gender equality. Ule rufianya. So then the guy said, I adamantly said, abantu ali having umushopuka, nasa and that's a different fear chavi chavi. I was so annoyed.
You said that in a public place.
Yes. And then he said, "Wakesa mikataimu boss." And I said,
okay,
"You understand
hold
what
on,
the
hold most?" Hold on, Mbaye. Is Dr. Mbaye back?
Yes, he
yes,
is.
Yes, I'm back.
Okay, please continue.
Yeah. So very quickly, the third thing which you should have, we should be ready for, is perseverance. You have to you have to persevere. What is keeping me here is perseverance. Otherwise, I would have long ago given up and said, I'm going back. But you see, it's not important for you to start something, then you stop it halfway, you get because you have made some obstacles. I am a person who believes that problems are there to be solved. So I'm trying to solve those problems and hope to get somewhere one day. The second aspect of your question is that I very much encourage you guys who are ready and willing to come back home, come and try it. Because of two reasons. No one, the first one, no one will build Zambia for us apart from we ourselves, Zambians. Since we've been out there, we are knowledgeable, we've made the contacts, we know the things that are supposed to be done, come and let's try to do it. Secondly, you need to know that we need to have a critical mass of people who are thinking in a similar way. Otherwise, when I go around, you find that I'm alone amongst the 100 people with that type of thinking. So you end up losing. Remember, we are a democracy, and in a democracy, it's the dictatorship of the majority on the minority. The problem is that the majority are usually wrong. So you find that we have to have a critical mass of people who have come here in Zambia, upset, or who are thinking in a different way. And by the way, don't feel afraid that if you come here, you will never leave this place again. No. I have been traveling to Poland to visit my family, and it's all that easy. Lusaka flight to Warsaw costs about 7,000 kwacha, which is about $1,200. Yeah, or $1,000, somewhere there. So you find it's affordable if you can know how to go about it. But I encourage people to come and try. But it's not rosy. It's not difficult. It's not easy. It's very difficult. Actually, I can even say that there's even a political will, especially to frustrate people in Zambia. I mean, we're in the diaspora, to frustrate them. Because once you come back, some of us where we have been. That's how we are nicknamed, some of us who have been. So you find that even it frustrates them when you introduce yourself. Hello, how are you? What's your name? I'm Dr. Richard Mbaye. Oh, come on. Did you ask for your degree, this and that? You see, I've learned it now that when people greet me, I just say, I'm Richard Mbaye. Then the people around me, the ones who know me, they're the ones who say, oh, he's a doctor, this and that and that. But otherwise, I expect apathy from fellow Zambians, especially the ones who have been around. Some of my friends have been telling me point blank in the face, if we didn't yale kabakuno kuri muri chirwana kaunda, imo you are enjoying here in Europe. Now you come here, you want also to take up the best positions. Takuri, you have to fight from the ladder, through the ladder climbed like the way we fought.
Wow. We are learning a lot here. You're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We're talking to Dr. Richard Mbaye, who has gone to Zambia after living in Poland for 29 years. Even if we've run out of time, our time has been short, has been lost a little bit, Dr. Mbaye. Let me ask my two questions, and then I'll allow the Zambia Block Talk Radio family. A lot of people were looking forward to this discussion, and I'm not going to deprive them from asking their questions. Let me just get to this point. My other questions you have answered in your explanation. You are currently lecturing and working at three or four universities. You are doing consulting work, including the Zambia Institute of Diplomas and International Studies. Give us your impressions about these institutions. Of course, we can't run away from this compared to what you have seen abroad. I'm talking about availability of resources, books, computers, research tools and instruments, things like that.
Access to resources is very difficult here, especially textbooks. Just forget. You might find textbooks at good institutions like ZICAS, and I think it's because the Zambia Center of Accounting Studies, because I think they've got their own special funding arrangement.
Yeah.
I don't know about the libraries of the University of Zambia because I've not passed there. I've passed at the library of Mulungushi University. It is something you can simply say. It shouldn't even be called a library anyway. But that was last year when I passed there. Then there is no access to internet. You can organize your own access to internet by buying talk time, arranging these people through the mobile phone operators. They are ripping us. They are ripping people.
Yeah.
And they are making huge profits out of that. So access to information is very critical. Secondly, you don't find very well-qualified lecturers around. Practically, lecturers are not there, you see. Those ones who are good, it's either you are there in the diaspora, some of them they are here but they want to go out, or they've been given big positions, either they are permanent secretaries or this and that, and they are not here. They are not working. For example, a very good, respected man, which I know personally, Dr. Caleb Sindanga, our former governor of the Central Bank, he would have expected that this is a guy who is very knowledgeable as well in the Africa Development Bank. Any of the successive governments should use him. They have just been watching him. And I was very happy to see the day before yesterday that he has been appointed executive director at the IMF. But we are now losing a brand like that. It's going away again to work in Washington. You see? So then I'm surprised that government is setting up very various different universities and other institutions of higher learning when practically there are no lecturers to teach there. And how do you convince, for example...
That was going to be my next question. We hear all these institutions being built. Where's the staff going to run those institutions going to come from?
Nathan, you know me very well. We know each other for the last 5 years, and you know that my answers are always candid and to the truth, as the truth says. Practically, there are no lecturers. There are no lecturers. I don't see where the government is going to find those lecturers. Either they will be doing importing lecturers. I remember it was 3-6 months ago, the Copperbelt University was advertising in Ethiopia to recruit Ethiopians to come and start lecturing at the Copperbelt University in engineering subjects. Yet there are Zambians here with PhDs in engineering. They are just measuring the streets. Why? Because the Zambians don't want to take their fellow Zambians as lecturers. CBU is a place which I have also personally have applied, and they have never answered. It's now 2 years. And what do you do? Nothing. There's nothing you can do about it. So maybe, now, let's face facts. Which lecturer will be convinced that you go to Luwa, where they are opening this Mushinde University, you go to Luwa there in Italy and be a lecturer and be staying there? What incentives are they going to give people? You see, those universities might end up becoming white elephants. It's not that only, but also, for example, the stadiums, the football stadiums.
Yes.
They are supposed to be built four by the Chinese. Two have already been built. The Lusaka one is finished, but the outside infrastructure is not ready because people have been living there who are street vendors, sort of, and it's very difficult to remove them. So the stadium is ready, but you can't do anything there. Then they are thinking of building another one, the third one in Livingstone and the fourth one in Mongo. With due respect to Mongo and all those people, who is going to watch football in Mongo from Lusaka if the Zambia National Team has to stay here? You see? So you find that sometimes we have got that classical problem in development economics, that we Africans, we have got the wrongly placed priorities. because I don't think that those are priorities. We could bring back those stadiums to the line of rail. Sorry, that's how our country is. If you have to develop, you have to develop areas there. You have to create institutions or places that will generate income in those areas so that they attract people to go and start working there. For sure, it will not be an investment.
Oh my goodness! We need to organize another time for Dr. Dale to come back. Let me allow two questions very quickly here. Let me go to Pennsylvania. Basimbe, please go ahead if you've got a question or comment you'd like Dr. Mbewe to respond to.
Yes, Dr. Mbewe, my name is Mr. Simbaya. I have a company there that deals with printing and sort of pictures like Phoenix. There are two things that is fine. Zambians don't want to support Zambians. They'll go kuliba kuma Chinese or kuba mkushitefi. Nena adiba kalipira. I've come from the U.S. I brought business here. I'm employing people here. But imomulea kuliba mwenye. You see, there's that philosophy, there's that thinking. I don't know if you have found it. That is also wrong. And as it were, you find that Zambians ngabapanga business, maybe ya kushupa kubafumako. You see what I'm trying to say? There are those that I encountered myself. I don't know if you have seen such. On the level that a Zambian is not a lecturer, he's just a normal person who has some funds and he wants to go back and do, because sometimes not all Zambians have degrees. Not all Zambians will be doctors. Not all Zambians will be lecturers. But what about those that are not lecturers and they can't go back? What would be your advice in terms of, one, Zambian apathy in terms of supporting Zambians that I personally have witnessed that Zambians don't support Zambians, period?
You are very much right. That is one of the biggest challenges here. Zambians do not support Zambians. These contracts which the government is doing, the one of building infrastructure, roads, the various acronyms you have heard of, Lusaka 8000, I don't know, PEV Zambia, to Lusaka this and that, Zambia 10,000. All those are huge projects. If Zambian companies were given, they would run those projects and create jobs for other Zambians. But as rightly Mr. Simbe has done, those ones are not being given to Zambia, they are being given to the Chinese. Of course, under the pretext, or is it a pretext, or is it a real truth, that Zambians do not have the knowledge and the equipment to build such a road. So they have to give it to there. And secondly, there's a failure to do the job by the Zambians. Also, Zambians tend to respect somebody who is a foreigner than his own countrymen. They would rather deal with Indians, Chinese, even Rwandese, Burundis. Do you know that Rwandese are some of the biggest business community in Lusaka today?
Wow.
Because they are being given these contracts and businesses by Zambians. And yet we fellow Zambians, once we tell them I can do this, I can do that, they don't want to give you. My advice to those people who don't have degrees but they've got the resources or they want to come and do things, my answer still remains the same. Come and try. But be ready to face the difficulties which we are talking about now. And as I can say, if we become a critical mass of people who are strategically located, we can start becoming a force to reckon with. We can join, we can set up a diaspora, whatever, business community. We start giving contracts to ourselves. We start influencing other people to give us contracts. We join chambers of commerce, and we notice that these people are there. Otherwise, if we are doing it by remote control from Dallas, from London, from Warsaw, from Singapore, we are going to get nowhere. We have to come here down and do it. It's risky. It's difficult. At first, there will be problems, pain, but there's no sweat without sweat.
We need to talk about this, Dr. Mbewe. You are an expert at nation promotion, and you are actually teaching, like I mentioned in the introduction, at the Zambia Institute of Diplomas and International Studies. You are teaching nation branding. You did nation promotion at in Warsaw, in Poland, chief economist. What have you observed about this issue of Zambia's foreign direct investment policy? What advice, what things would you ask the government to change, do better, and completely do away with?
They should, you know, I've tried to work with ZDA. I will not be hiding also. I've applied for a job there. Of course, they never invited me for interviews. That's the end of the world. Fine. But then I've also tried to work with them, bringing investors or trying to promote my investment projects, asking them if they can support me and so on. Those people, they are knowledgeable, but they've got one problem. They are not aggressive. They don't promote Zambia aggressively. Those, first and foremost, Zambia should identify which investors do we want to bring to our country. Chinese, South Africans, British, Americans, Brazilians, whatever. Once you agree with which ones we want to invite, then from there now you start organizing tour visits to those countries to show them about Zambia. What are the opportunities there? Go with your business. Whenever a politician is traveling, especially have in mind the Minister of Commerce, the Foreign Minister, the President, the Vice President, they should be going with an entourage of businessmen who are going to negotiate business contracts. Why waste space on an aircraft? Just because, by taking one person, when you could take a group of businessmen who are going to look for opportunities there. So aggressive marketing. Then secondly, we should know what to market ourselves. Because when I'm teaching those students at ZIBIS, the Zambia Institute of Diplomats, remember most of them, 90% of them, are those ones who have been given diplomatic positions and they're about to leave to their respective locations. And therefore, we need to very quickly run them a crash course of nation branding, marketing, and so on. And I always ask them this question. Give me three reasons, only three reasons, why as a tourist I should come to Zambia and not go to Kenya or Tanzania or Botswana. None of them fails to answer that question. And it's only when we find answers to such critical questions are we going to move. Secondly, another question which you'd ask them, give me five Zambian values. What is important for you as a Zambian? They end up usually at three. They will tell you it's the religion, family, and they get stuck. They can't reach five. They don't mention things like hard work, entrepreneurship, national feeling, national unity. They don't mention those.
Wow. Right?
So you find that it is very difficult to change things because it is the mindset. So what you need to do is to have, again, people in those positions, strategic positions, but on the operations part, not be giving them the jobs of the general director, managing director, no, but operations director level, where they can get things done, but they should be knowledgeable. Look at me, as you have rightly observed. In 2002, when we knew that Poland was going to join the EU in 2004, with my two friends, two Kenyans, Ernest Kirija and Richard Abu, we formed the Roadshow Poland, a company which was aimed at promoting Poland. And we went around those big towns of Europe. We are in Barcelona, we are in Madrid, we were in London, Frankfurt am Main, in Stockholm. The capital is Lisbon, Kashka is Lisbon. We went to all those places and promoted Poland. And I can assure you, we are taking businesses with us, but when they are there, they showcase what they want to do, what type of investors they are looking for, and what type of opportunities are there. People, you could find that each trip we are coming back from there, two, three companies have clinched something and brought some investors. This is what Zambians should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Dr. Mbewe, I was working as private sector last.
Finish your point.
By the way, when I was working as private sector liaison officer for the World Bank in Poland, that was a responsibility of promoting private companies to participate in World Bank funded projects. We went to Turkey, and in Turkey at this annual meeting of IMF and the World Bank. And at that meeting, we could see how aggressively these countries were being promoted. But the Zambian delegation was nowhere to be seen. Then from there, I found out a very, very big trick that the big nations, they have decided that if you have got a serious topic to vote on at such a meeting, World Bank, IMF, the World Trade Organization, they make the voting to be usually on the last day of the conference, which is Friday, and usually in the afternoon. Why? Because most of the Africans are not here. They have gone to do their shopping. So that you vote in their absence and you win the votes. And that's why today you find that when you are talking of World Trade Organization, those rounds of negotiations, Who is Zambia's representative there? Does Zambia talk about it? After all, we are supposed to be fighting for our copper, at least, although we don't get much profit from it. But what about other products which we can come up, agricultural products? Are we...
They were dropped there. Wow, very interesting discussion there. Dr. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Doing good. It's good to have you back and to hear your voice. What have you heard so far, Dr. Mbewe, talk about?
I heard about promoting the country and some of the difficulties he's had with the government in promoting the country, promoting Zambia, as opposed to him having a better opportunity or a better entree to promoting countries such as Portugal and other cities within the proper, but not so much with Zambia.
Okay. Let's go back. He's back. Let's go back to Dr. Mbewe. As we conclude, we have like 7 minutes here remaining. We need to make arrangements for you to go back. At the Zambia Institute of Diplomacy and International Studies, you teach nation branding. What is nation branding?
Nation branding, this is where now you present the nation. You create, you present a nation as a product, just like Coca-Cola or an apple or whatever. And then you brand it through its name, Zambia. And then you give it special features, special characteristics, and you start marketing it as the way Coca-Cola markets its Coca-Cola, is it Nike markets its Nike Pro shoes, and so on and so on. Mm. So you brand the nation, you give it a brand, and you give it a slogan. So there are techniques for that. It is in marketing. It's a subject which is called branding. But in this case now, you are extrapolating it to a nation. Because the nation has got certain characteristics. It has got its own people, its own language, its own features, geographical borders, and so on. As such, with natural resources, as such, it has got characteristics which you can promote to attract either investors or tourists or businessmen and above all your own people themselves. I was very surprised to see here in Lusaka, when you are driving on Mumba Road, there is a post sign to Mumbwa and the Kafue National Park. And Kafue National Park is just 190 kilometers away. That's where Zambians should be going for weekends, to relax, to watch those animals, right? But nobody promotes tourism amongst Zambians themselves. And you find, how now are you going to convince a chairman to come to Zambia to go and see that Kafue National Park when you yourselves, you have never been there?
Wow. We have a lot of things to talk about here, Dr. Mbewe. We had a lot of issues at the beginning of our show. So far, you've lived there for 2 years. How are things looking?
Well, slowly they are improving. I'm getting to know people. I'm getting to be known also. So by combining those jobs of lecturing and consultants, I think I'm breaking even. I can't complain, but it's not the same standard of life like I had in Warsaw. But I have access to internet. You know, for us it's a disease. So I'd rather sometimes not even buy a kilogram of meat, but to buy talk time so that I can have access to internet so that I'm always...
What do they call that? I remember my basic economics. Opportunity cost? Is that what it's called?
Opportunity cost, you are very much right, Nathan. The opportunity cost here, I feel that having access to internet to allow me to even Skype to my little girl in Warsaw, and that enlightens my heart, and my stomach is already full with the joy of talking to her. So, taking dinner, buddy, that day, no problem.
Oh, Richard, oh my goodness. We need to make arrangements for you to come back.
Yeah. You're very much welcome, and it's a pleasure.
I mean, to be honest with you, just a little that you have talked about here, you have no idea how much you have. Like a friend of mine likes to say, Vasimbe, you have downloaded a lot here.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of almost said, Miss Dr. Mbewe, let me start off now. What are you doing? Critical mass, very important. Very, very important.
Yeah, you come, because we remember our grade 7 English, one man cannot fight a dozen. At least we should be a dozen. We are pange chongo, we don't start listening. Otherwise,
yes.
Coming one. And
no,
one great. Important thing which I wanted to say, one very important thing, come and buy land, because land is being bought by the Chinese massively. Don't regret afterwards when you come, there will be no land for you. And that is a very dangerous precedent, because, again, as an economic strategist, I can tell you that the world, the future world, will be having four major problems. Land, food, water, and people. You see? No, land, food, water, and energy. And you find that Zambia has got land. That's why the Chinese are coming and they are buying those places. They are bringing their families, the Chinese here. They are not playing around.
Two
50% of the waters of sub-Saharan Africa, over 40% of in Southern Africa. So we've got water, and the world will need water. We've got abundant land. We are one of the least populated countries in the world. So there's massive land here, which is unutilized, but which can be transformed into plantations for growing food, and this food can be exported and generating income for Zambia, which is typical diversification. But we've been mentioning about diversification and we have never put it in practice. Then energy, the world, sooner or later the crude oil finished. What will be, it's these alternative energy. And we can make alternative energy, whether it's bioethanol, from the agriculture produce which we could grow. And we've got those waters, we can set up hydropower stations. And this energy would be exported to the different countries and so on. So Zambia, for me, is a land of opportunities, but it's tough. But
That's Dr. Richard Mbewe, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Mbewe, we thank you for joining us, and I'll get in touch with you. You need to come back as soon as is impossible. And
thank you very much.
You're welcome, my friend. We say thank you to you, to the Dallas community. Please remember our late sister Chewe Mangiwa's wake this evening at 333 South Kirby Street, Garland, Texas, 75042 is the zip code. I do thank everybody for joining us. Twambo Kapilisha, thanks for a good discussion. My World Cup roundup team, everybody, enjoy the game today. I don't know they're going to watch the game. Tomorrow, Argentina versus Germany. Have a good weekend, everybody. Once again, we say thank you to Dr. Mbewe.
Chifu kwa lelo, bantu bonse basobesa ulemu. Atate imwe. Na vintu zinga chindi Tinga nkale osanga lala Tuva inga choki Talema na pepo Katena mbale wanga Azazi wakuti akula.